The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You good? You can hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Does it sound too hot?
No. Okay. I mean, I actually, you know, I'm not looking at the levels because I'm not sitting at your brother's seat. So, but, you know, you're fine.
Do you think it's kind of weird that we're not like looking at each other, or you're so used to it?
No, you know, I have never done radio where I haven't looked at you know, the person that I was working with.
Right.
But I did it on the station that I worked on right before here, 620 a.m. in Tampa, the sports radio station. I was in a separate room from the host.
Oh, okay.
So that worked. And now, I mean, this is like if I was talking on the phone, you know?
Sure.
I mean,
and that's probably with people working remote and not everybody being in the same studio. That's probably more prevalent now than what it used to be. So this might be normal.
I think if I didn't know you, then I'd probably sit down there next to you to get like more of like a comfortable vibe. But I think that, you know, because we know each other, I think you're fine.
I am kind of having some PTSD of when I was actually a co-host briefly for a year.
Yeah.
And this is where I sat. And of course, I didn't. The setup was the same then. I mean, now as it was then. So I'm kind of having like flashbacks a little bit.
All right. And this is great. We didn't even have to officially introduce the podcast because people know it's a podcast.
I know. We don't even have a name for it. And you know what's crazy is as much as, because we text quite a bit and I really, really enjoy you as a person and on the show. And
thank you.
That's no BS. Like I really, your humor, it's like, you know, it's more cerebral. You're funny. You get it. I've always said that since you started years ago. And so, but this is really the first time we have hung out.
It is.
Like, one-on-one, which is so weird.
I think I've just seen, has it just been the BARP events that I've seen you at over the past couple years?
That's it. The only two times we have, quote-unquote, I guess, hung out were the first BARP, and I think you had just started.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was like a month or two in.
Right. And then the last BARP, which was so awesome, and we were all so bombarded that it's not like you really get to hang out with anybody.
We hung out for a few minutes, and I think you saw, I think I, when I went to go hug your mom, and then she was like, oh, I don't get hugs anymore. And then you're like, all right, mom, you know, we got to, let's go ahead and move on to the next one. I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh, this is getting awkward already. But
well, she had her eye on Austin, the fence guy anyway.
Oh, did she? I thought she was into Colton. That's the rumor that's going around.
That was the rumor because I asked him to go help her because he lives really close and Tar couldn't get over and I couldn't get over there. And Colton offered, hey, anytime you need help. So I asked him to go help her. And he literally, because, you know, Colton,
how awesome is he?
Oh, I mean, if everybody could be like Colton, it would be a great, great world. This dude, so I did give him money. Of course, he was going over there.
Yeah.
But then this is what a sweetheart and a forward thinker he is. He goes, hey, I'm going to be a little late to your mom's, you know, like 15 minutes past whenever. And I said, that's okay. Text her. I'm still at my office. He said, well, the reason why is because I'm stopping to get her roses.
Oh, my God.
I'm
get
like
out of here.
Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver. So that's kind of where the rumor started. But this is a hilarious story. And I know Bubba heard part of it. But at BARP, we got there kind of early. And I mistakenly was standing by the entrance waiting for my business partners. Because I had like four partners come with their wives. And I didn't want them to walk into this, you know.
Like alone.
Right. It's a lot.
Because they know about, I mean, I don't think they listen, but they know about this world.
They actually, exactly. Some of them listen.
Okay.
But one of them didn't. And that was the physician who's one of my partners. But he's cool. I mean, trust me, he's just as sick as Bubba and everyone in the content, he gets it. But I still
didn't
want them.
I've seen these doctors are sick getting to know Dr. Dan.
Oh, that's
you know?
True. I mean, duh, right? I mean, that guy takes the cake. Oh, and plus, that was the night Dr. Diaco wore his leggings, you know, or whatever, underneath those little nut hugger things that he had on. That's right when my partners walked in and saw his, So I'm standing by the entrance waiting for them. And, you know, I was like part of the welcoming committee. Everyone's coming in and I'm getting bombarded again. It was a great thing. Great people. So Janie Cakes and Gina and I are just standing there, Regina Hunter, kind of taking everything in and looking at everybody. And mom goes, "Hey, who's that guy over there? The guy, he has a, he had like a navy coat on, sport coat and a white shirt. And, you know, he was all tan." And
this is not me, by the way.
This is Austin.
This is not me.
And Gina and I look at each other and we go, "We don't know. Yeah, he's pretty hot." She goes, "I'll be right back." Walks right over like she owns the place.
Oh my. Was she on any like giggle juice or
no,
anything that night?
No, but she was like doing shots, I guess. I guess a couple of the guys had her doing shots.
Oh fuck.
Within 10 minutes, I look over and she's just all rubbing up on, you know, Janie's a hugger. Janie loves, you know, those big jugs, as Bubba would say. Within 10 minutes, she comes over. She had the whole 411. His name's Austin. He has a fence company. He lives outside of Orlando. He's single. Blah, 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 blah. Gina and I were dying laughing.
Did she mention he just got stabbed by somebody that he was dating?
No, but yes. I heard that briefly from somewhere, and I could not believe it. Is that a true story?
Yes. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
What?
I told him before I knew who he was, we were talking about it on the radio. I was like, "Well, why is this guy going back to somebody that stabbed him?" I was like, "That's like the worst thing you could do." I was like, "It's easier to shoot somebody than to stab them."
Some woman he was dating stabbed him.
An OnlyFans girl. An OnlyFans woman.
Okay. So we need to have a talk with this guy. And he went back to her?
I think he said the sex was amazing, you know? So I told.
Of course, because she's batshit crazy, but that is shelf life.
Yeah. It's just like a stabbing for sex. So I talked to him and he actually was like, "Hey, you know what? You actually were making some sense about, you know, how stupid this was that I was running back to her."
God.
Is your mom, and this is not on my list, and I'm not trying to be Bubba here, but, you know, we're cool.
Of course.
Is Janie, like, is she horny still?
You know, this is the crazy thing. Obviously, you know, we don't really talk about talk about it. So we'll see a hot, I mean, Jason Momoa. I'm always busting her balls like, "Okay, mom, who's your top three list, if you could?" And she's always Matthew McConaughey, Bradley Cooper, and I think Clooney used to be on there, but she says he's getting a little long in the tooth for her. So it's kind of like in it, but her thing, and I'm so with her. I am my mother's daughter. She's like, "Listen," and the thought of her being with somebody else kills me, because Jeff is, I was a daddy's girl and that's my dad, and I'm still, in all fairness, really struggling with him being gone.
How long was he in the picture for?
42 years.
Wow.
He came into my life when I was very, very young. So, I mean, I think I'm probably having a harder time with it now than anyone, because the first year and a half I poured into my mom and I didn't take care of myself. I mean, I'm over there. I mean, Seth, when I tell you I work and then my second job is her, and I do everything.
Like, are you close to her?
Very.
Okay. Is that why
doctor's visits? I mean,
okay.
We're over there a couple times a week. I mean, when I tell you I do everything, and she loses it when she sees me cry. So I have not been able to really grieve. I've had to hide it. And now I'm starting to crack. So I was very, 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 very close with my dad. I mean, Jeff's my dad. It's really hard. I don't want to talk about it, because honestly, I think I'm going to start crying.
But
the thought of her being with somebody is like repulsive. But we joke, you know, because that's how we heal through humor.
Yeah.
So we're always like, we'll be in the mall and we'll see some hot guy and we'll both look at each other and go, shit like that, but not like
anybody with dad bods are just really only hot dudes like
no,
that are ripped
you know,
and stuff.
We're not like shallow. It's all
okay.
about, in all fairness, it's all about personality, intellect. I mean, kind of opposite.
Of course, but when I walk by in the mall, no one's going, "Oh yeah, look at that guy."
I mean, you know, there's that shallow. You know, obviously, I'm being a hypocrite because we do oogle over hot dudes, but not like not I think as much as dudes. I don't think. Her issue is the same as mine. She's like, "Listen, flat out, I'm good with not being with anybody. I have such a great relationship with my kids. I want to spend time with you guys. I'm not into that." And plus, she goes, "I don't want to be with a man my age. Gross."
Oh,
like she wants
no.
like somebody like in their 50s.
Well, that's what concerns me too about getting older, is that, you know, obviously, when I was young, or, you know, growing up, I was like, well, my mind's going to eventually change. Like, I'm going to get older and my mind's going to change, except my mind's still the same and your mind's going to still be the same when you're 60 or 70, as far as like, hey, I'm banging a 60-year-old. But I'm from a woman thinking about, you know, an older man, and that disgusts her. Like, that's a
right.
Maybe that's why everybody of different ages, you know, do they end up dating each other? Maybe that's why money starts getting involved.
Yeah. I mean, you think? I think so. But it's also mindset. Like, I know some people that are older that you would never know because, you know, of their outlook, their mentality. I think it's never losing that thirst to go out, not that type of thirst.
Yes.
But, you know, wanting to explore and go travel and do stuff. You know, sometimes older people get very, you know, fixed in their ways and sedentary and don't want to do anything.
Just kind of waiting to die.
Yeah. But whereas Janie Cakes is like, shit, I want to go travel and do stuff. I think that is what it's about. Not necessarily the number. It's all about the attitude.
I think Bubba was saying he takes in a lot of the shuffleboard. I don't know if he said your mom's team isn't that good. Have you been to any of those shuffleboard games?
I have not. So that's where I really appreciate him sort of filling in when I can't be there. He has been going, her team sucked. They only won two. But you know what I love is she doesn't give a shit. Like some of these people out there get like literally cutthroat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they
always
get... Oh, they get upset. And Janie Cakes, she ain't there for a long time. She's there for a good time. And I love that about her. She looks at it. She's the social butterfly. She's rooting everybody on. Aww. She's out there laughing. And that's what she needs. So I really think it's, you know, sort of goes back to mentality. I mean, I know some people who are in their 40s who literally have no ambition, want to sit around and, like you said, wait to die.
Yeah.
And I know people in their 70s who want to go conquer the world. So I think it's more of that mentality. But she, I mean, listen, if Bradley Cooper knocked on her door and walked in, I have a feeling her libido might go through the roof. But we have not gone that far in depth, nor do I want to. Thought of that gags me.
I'm going to have Colton start working on a Matthew McConaughey impression next time
he goes.
Oh,
my God.
There.
All right, all right. If he walks in and starts saying, all right, all right.
He will. Did you hear that we got Tuttle and Colton back in the fold here?
No.
Yeah, so.
How's Tuds?
Tuds is good.
Bless his little heart.
So I had I didn't have a good relationship with Tuds because he used to mess with me a lot when I was on
Understood.
The show.
Understood.
I was on the show the first time and your brother brought him up a couple times and I was like, I don't think we need to do anything with him, you know, on the podcast. And so Anna left. So we were doing our podcast the other day and we're talking about Colton and then called Colton and I just asked him about Tuttle and your brother's like, you know, do you care? I was like, I don't care. I'm fine. Bring Tuttle on. Like, I don't even know what I was
That's
mad about
cool,
anymore.
Man. Right. Know? I love that about you. That's yeah. cool.
So,
that is cool.
So, yeah. So, talk to them. Tuttle's good. Like, he apologized. He didn't have to. He's sober.
Oh, that's awesome. I know he's been, like, he lost his mom a few weeks ago. And he lost. So, kind of a quick, I don't know, update about Tuttle. You know, when he struggled years ago and had sort of that breakdown, which was really scary. I think he was living with Lummy.
And, yes.
Okay, so he was like Baker acted, and I actually went to see him and take him like books and food, and I actually went to the psych ward to see him.
Was that in like Tallahassee?
No, it was here locally. So initially he went to a local hospital, and you know, obviously I don't want to tell, you know, speak out of term. I know he's shared it all on the radio.
Yeah.
But it really just touched me to see him, you know, in such a low place. And I never want that for anybody. And I went to see him and that meant so much to him. And he always kind of kept in touch with me, you know, just thank you. Because that was really, truly one of the most, you know, probably the lowest time of his life. And I mean, it was weird. You go in, I don't know if I've never been to like a psych mental place.
Yeah,
I probably should.
I'm not sure yet, but yeah, I don't think
right?
I have
it yet being the operative word, but you have to like put your stuff in a locker. They like, it's almost like TSA and you go in this holding room with the family and then the patients come in and it is just like the scene out of a movie. You have people like wigging out. He came over, like he was blown away. I brought him like comic books and some stuff that
Were you the only one there?
I was. And, you know, that meant a lot to him. And I felt my heart went out to him. And then I heard he lost his dad like a year ago and then his mom most recently. And for him to continue to stay sober, like props to him. Listen, when he's on, he's really good on the air. And I really hope, I see Colton really being a great friend
yes.
and a great influence. So I'm happy for him, man. And I love that you two squashed it. I think he apologized to you.
Yeah. And there's, and you know what? I have the screenshots and all the stuff of what, you know, he used to say that
sure.
would fuck with me. And I have that for anybody that would fuck with me.
Of course.
Not that I'm looking to like tweet her one day, but it's like, hey, this
right.
is what happened, you know, just as a reminder. And I went back and I was just like, well, you know, here's the thing, Tara, is that, you know, I am excited that your brother's kind of giving me the keys to the podcast. And I love putting shows together.
Dude, you're killing it, man. I got to tell you, like, again, I'm not trying to kiss your ass,
no,
and
no,
I don't want to be
ahead.
Like a Seth Mark,
no, or, please.
You know, but there is a palpable difference since you've been back. First of all, kudos to you for one, accepting Tuttle's apology. That's not always easy. I mean, I think that shows how much you've grown in just the few years of, you know, you've been through a lot with the LA. I mean, that whole move,
oh,
hearing
God,
that
yeah.
story and what they did and. You know, your Lightning podcast. I think you've just been through a lot personally and professionally, and your growth is very obvious in how you carry yourself. You've always been radio gold. And what I love is you know how to dance with Bubba, and not a lot of people do. And it's not easy, right? That cannot be easy. And then just what I love, and Bubba, I love you, I love you, I love you, but he has a tendency, like I think we all do, is to kind of get stuck in this whole, if I could get back on terrestrial, that's like talking about if I could get my Walkman to work, right? Like, come on, like come the fuck on. I was going to use that in the roast, but I didn't. And you have always since day one steered him in, dude, what are you talking about? Like streaming and podcasting, you have been preaching that for since you came, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And then to see you come back, be better than ever, funny as shit, and then make that impact in the podcast world. I mean, dude, Operation Pigmentation, I'm obsessed, and I want to meet those guys. So, like, I just want to be with them. Their vibe, you, the way you vibe, the way you've known them for so long, like, it is a noticeable impact. What you have done and how you dance with Bubba, when you laugh and that laugh, like, it gets me every time. I stop what I'm doing and I audibly laugh. And it's just, damn, it's just so good.
Well, listen, you've reached out and you've told me this, and this stuff that I appreciate the most, I think, right now is your praise of Operation Pigmentation, because I've known those guys and Craig for so long, and I've been going down there and I go, these guys need to have a TV crew down here. And I'm like, I don't have a TV crew. I don't have money. But I was like, you know, and we've been talking about doing a podcast, and I went down there with my portable recorder and did it. And, you know, the audio didn't sound great. And we did about three episodes, and I didn't put it out. It wasn't where I needed it to be. And ended up coming back here, and Bubba's like, I don't give a fuck. Do a podcast with your barbers. Who gives a shit?
And I love it.
And it's turning out to be something, you know? And
dude, you have this eye for talent, though, like in production. Like, not a lot of people can do both, right? Where you're a performing, and then you understand identifying talent and producing. And you are killing it. And that's no bullshit.
No, I appreciate it. I have a different mindset and outlook than I did the first time. You know, the first time was I quit, you know, corporate radio. I didn't want to do radio anymore.
Right.
I had no job lined up. I didn't have any money or anything like that. And I had my options were, you know, to come work for Bubba or
sure.
to not have a job. So I was like, I'll go do this. And, you know, dealing with Blitz was a fucking pain in the dick.
Yeah.
That was a huge reason.
Yeah,
Dealing with the people in chat. You know, Blitz was in control of chat back then. So he would let all of the shit go by about, you know, whether it was juice stuff or whether it was being a snowflake or just anything
and
that could.
You know what? We're all human. And when I was on the air, when I co-hosted in, I think, 2013, I don't care what anyone says. I don't care how strong your headspace is and what your outlook is. And I really kind of try to be a very positive person and de-escalate drama. But man, it gets to you. I don't care how big and strong and mentally strong and focused a person is. It'll still fuck with me. I mean, I think like a year ago, there was a picture of Mom and Bubba and I. It was like Mother's Day. And all these people start like just busting on the way I look.
And oh, Bubba posted
my fucking it? Eye, oh, yeah. Because oh, okay. I have fucked up eyebrows. One thing I hate, and unfortunately, it's natural. They look like fucking boomerangs on my head. And I cannot get Botox because I have such a small forehead. I have like a two head.
What do we get? I've
done Botox and my brows droop. It's a fuck show.
I don't get brows. I've never noticed eyebrows on a woman
dude.
Ever.
They
I didn't even know you had
face.
Them.
I hate it. And so all these people, and of course, if you're at the wrong angle, all these people just start taking a shit on me. And I'm like, listen, I just lost my dad. I'm really stressed out. I'm not trying to be an Instagram model either. Like, I don't think I'm hot. I think I'm a good person. And I try every day to be a better version of myself. And I try to leave everything I come into contact with better than when I found it. People, places, and things. That's my outlook. I ain't trying to be an Instagram OnlyFans flaunting my cervix and thinking I'm hot. And all these people just start taking a shit on me. And I'm like, Bubba, take that picture down. He's like, what? That stuff bothers you? I'm like, normally, no, but right now, yeah. So I get what you're saying. That shit will take its toll. Like, when people just keep piling on and piling on, and plus, you were the new thing, right? Like, you were the new shiny object when you came on 4 years ago. So naturally, people are going to be extra critical of, you know, regardless of if you could cure cancer.
Yeah.
And they'd still talk shit. So I get it.
I was just happy that, you know, when I got out of here, I started working, you know, normal, regular person jobs, you know, social media shit, marketing shit. I worked, mm-hmm. I think I told you I worked next door at Bake More Pies. I was a social media manager and I realized it all fucking sucked, you know? And
right.
I thought going to LA would be, you know, the peak of my radio career and would really just, you know, put a cherry on top and go like, hey, dude, you made it. And it ended up, you know, it ended up sucking out there and I had to pull the plug. But I, because of everything that's happened, you know, personally to me over the last, you know, month or two,
yep.
just because of how great things have been since I came back, I truly believe that I was meant to stay here in St. Petersburg and Tampa.
Absolutely. And I think from a rate, not like, you know, I'm not saying I have radio experience by proxy through my brother and watching his career, and I've dabbled a little bit, but I would imagine as a radio person that at least exploring the LA market, you know, it's what, one or two or three,
yeah, top two.
No, yeah, so I get why you would you felt the need to see, like, I get that. I get why you would want to explore it, and I think in your mind and even in mine, but I heard your story, which was very insightful. Like, we think, shit, it's LA, right?
Yeah.
They all have their shit together. You know, it's dialed in. It's, I'm going to learn so much. I'm going to network. I'm going to experience so much.
I'll slide right into something, you know, and
right.
go in right away and know what I mean. Yeah. And it's, it wasn't like that at all. It's, people don't have their shit together.
When you were saying that one day, I was blown away. I thought that was really, great for you to share that, because I think we all have this misconception of, you know, LA and New
York.
Big
markets,
yes.
And the top of the, you know, cream. And there is, you know, there's a cream of the crop probably out there. But with whom I was working with, those were just people that lived in LA that, you know, got those jobs and shit. And
just a bunch of jobbers.
I mean, I liked the guy, had a lot of potential. But, you know, when you start getting on me like I'm an intern, like I'm a phone screener, like I'm not.
I couldn't believe that story, man.
It's not an ego thing. It's like,
no.
I'm not on that level. I'm on the same level as you as a host.
Right.
And I'm the executive producer. We are on the same level because we have to talk and we have to communicate about fucking everything. Your name's on the show. That's fucking fine. But when we are talking off the air, like, we're equal,
right.
and when you want, and when you're handling me like you're handling, like, you know, your intern fucking Johnny or whatever, like, it's just not, it wasn't anything I could handle. Well, and when
plus, like, they had no like, I couldn't believe their lack of processes. Like, wouldn't you think that they would, when it comes to marketing ideas and following through with that they would actually have some sort of process? It sounds like it was just throwing shit to the wall and then everybody pointing fingers.
Well, it's just like, if you're going to bring me in to fix your 25th place morning show at K-Rock, like,
wow.
Oh, I got no fucking problem doing that. But if your co-host is putting up resistance because she doesn't like
right.
me as much as the host,
right.
and I'm going, who the fuck is this chick with no experience telling me about producing? Like, that's going to cause a problem right away.
That's, like, just bizarre. I mean, did you think you were like in the Twilight Zone
just,
when you were out there?
I just was like, I thought I was just an radio's the same no matter where you are, so I might as well do it in my fucking hometown.
Right.
It's really what it is. It's going to be the same players. Yeah, not everybody's a fucking asshole, but I didn't need to be out there in L.A., you know, barely being able to afford, you know, a house, you know, behind somebody's house or whatever.
Right, mother-in-law. Like a carriage house or a mother-in-law suite.
Like, that's what we're looking
at. For $5,000.
Yeah, it just wasn't meant to be.
And
so I feel like this time around, I've been shown a few things that kind of tell me that I'm supposed to be here. So
it's so great to see Bubba's brand really take off in the podcast world. I mean, that's what he's needed all along. No, it's not like terrestrial radio is never going to make a comeback. I mean, at some point, they probably might even alleviate them from cars.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I just don't ever see that coming back. And to see somebody, you have a unique way of steering my brother in a way that he understands it and then he gets it versus shoving it down his throat.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I definitely try to steer it, you know, sometimes he does not want to go the direction I want to go in, and I'll try more, you know. It's just like,
but he also respects all of your years in radio, and that means something to my brother. I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, Bubba's old school, but for him to have adapted Twitch years ago was a huge step in the right direction. So he gets it, but he also doesn't want some punk who doesn't have radio chops, you know, barking orders. You are not some punk. You have a lot of radio experience, and you respect him in a way that I don't know if any other co-host has really respected him in a way that you do.
Well,
and it's cool to see.
Well, I, you know, and I appreciate that. And we'll get all, you know, we'll stop jerking off.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I really want to get gritty, but I'm just being real.
Don't worry, we're gonna get into Blitzing On. I got all kinds of stuff for that.
Oh,
but
boy.
your brother, you know, seeing him off the air, you know, and
yeah, what do you think of that? Like, what do you think? Especially, this is an interesting question. You obviously came from, you know, the company that really kind of did Bubba dirty. Now, Bubba certainly made mistakes. I'm not like victimizing by any means, but coming from that world where he was like arch enemy number one.
Yeah.
And then I think you really have gotten to know him personally. Like, I think you solidly understand who he is off the air. What is sort of your take on all of that?
I mean, I wonder if I was with Bubba back in the day when, you know, weird shit was going on or questionable stuff was going on. Like, if I was making a ton of money, but like maybe morally I was like, this seems weird or whatever. Like, I think about that sometimes. But right now, I just feel like your brother has a good understanding of where his, you know, brand, where this needs to go. You know, I know he wants to get back on the radio because he has unfinished business in Tampa and he is not happy about the way that he went out. And I totally get that. But he also sees where all of his shit's going, you know, in the digital world. So,
right.
So I appreciate that he actually knows that, because there are people that are running these $1 million, $1 billion companies that still don't know about fucking digital stuff.
It's crazy, you know,
When I was at iHeartTerra, they were still trying to... They were still trying to push people to only listen to the radio. They wouldn't put up videos and do all the shit for social media.
iHeart?
Yeah.
They're a huge brand.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah. Oh, that was, I mean, I worked with them. What did I work there? Shit, when did I leave? What month is this?
I left end of April.
I worked there from last May to December.
Oh, wow.
So I was there for a while. And like, I learned, like, they were like, oh no, we want to push people because of the PPM and the rating system. And so they still, radio was still hung up on ratings.
Still?
And I'm hung up because ratings are a guess, by the way.
100%.
There's like 100 people that represent, you know, 2 million people, whatever it is. Like, that's how they go. We have hard numbers for all of our shit here, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I love looking at the podcast stuff, but your brother has been a tremendous help to me.
That's cool.
I mean, through talking about, you know, whatever's going on, he's always been a big proponent of me, you know, settling things with my mom when, you know, her and I are going at it, making sure that things are good at home. Looking out for, you know, my car. Things that I don't know about, making sure that I don't have fucking low tires so I'm not dying, you know, or anything like that. I've been able to go to him and, you know, talk freely about, you know, money and,
sure.
You know, I know people say I'm a shakedown artist, but I'm looking pretty good compared to Blitz right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to keep progressing.
Sure.
So, and I know your brother gets
that. I think he respects that. I think he respects, you being so upfront and honest and like, hey, man, I'm struggling and I can't pay my bills, or hey, my he also, I think that fulfills something in him, like a big brother type of
kind of, yeah, kind of like the uncle kind of.
Yes. Like he actually really enjoys that. And I think he kind of, I think it's kind of a twofold for him, where he really appreciates it from, you know, a business perspective, but also he enjoys it. You know, it gives him purpose, and he really does. I mean, he loved back in the day giving me advice as much as he can. I didn't take a lot of it, clearly, I think, because of my success. Joking, kind of. No, I love that fucker. I love him so much, and we've been through a lot together. And at the end of the day, you know, blood is thicker than water. I'm always going to have his back. I don't always agree, but I'm always, always going to have his back.
I think that's a lot, you know, how the Bub Army feels too. They're not going to agree, but they'll be there. So.
Right. And man, what a great, I don't want to say organization, but group of people.
We're a militia, I think, right now, because their brother can't get his money on Cash App because they think this is a well-funded militia that
he's
running.
Are you serious?
Well, it's the Bubba Army. Oh, it's tipping people off. It's, you know, and I get it. It, you know, could be a little aggressive. It's not like it's like the Chris or the, you know,
yeah,
the,
but
the
research
Frank
it.
Army.
You know, it's not like it's not like it's anonymous or some bullshit.
Listen, I understand. I can under, if it is, I know Venmo's issue was they thought that he was running a militia. So, you know, I don't know what this is right now, Tara,
I don't,
but it's a good group of people.
It is, man. So, I love those people. I really do. I really do.
All right, let me talk to you about Blitz and Anna. It's a big topic going on right now. Everybody,
it just makes me sad.
So you knew Blitz forever, right?
Yes, and I think that's the part that is the hardest, is he was really like a part of kind of the extended family. He had been in Bubba's life for, God, longer than Tyler's been alive, or right around that time. So it was really hard. And I think that is the part that's the most difficult for me, is he was with Bubba when, you know, all of the women in Bubba's life have taken advantage of the credit card or the gift card scheme. You know, that was sort of the big joke. And
is that a thing, by the way? Like, I know that apparently Blitz was like buying, like, hey, I'll $100 gift card with a pack of gum.
Yeah, some of Bubba's exes, I don't want to say names. There were several, would, you know, he would give them a credit card with their name on it to get household items. And this isn't just one, unfortunately. And they would go to Publix or Walgreens and get like a pack of gum and then buy a $100 gift card that had no expiration. This went on forever. In Blitz, we would laugh about it. We'd be like, oh my God. And so it was just like,
you think that's where he picked it up?
Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately. And you know, when all of this stuff came to light, and you know, I don't want to do a character assassination of Blitz or Anna. I really don't. I think the truth speaks for itself. It was very hard for me to even believe. And like over a year ago when this was discovered, I know Bubba has been going through a lot with the IRS, and that's sort of what kind of opened it with Bubba exploring it. I didn't want to believe it. I think it was my mom's birthday is the beginning of March. We all went to dinner and, you know, Bubba sort of dropped it all on us. And I just was like, no way. And then he had all of these.
He's got it all.
I mean, he had boxes and.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Boxes and, you know, the
God bless the merch crick.
Oh, seriously. And just, you know, where stuff that was being shipped to fam, you know, just, I don't need to get into it. It blew my mind and it broke my heart because we've been through a lot together with Blitz. I mean, he was like a family member. He really, truly was. And, you know, I hate that. I hate that that happened for everybody. I hate it. It sucks. It's sad.
Did you ever talk to him after your brother told you?
No, okay. I didn't. And I'm not the kind of person that wishes. I don't think it's good to wish bad things on people, regardless of what they've done. That's not who I am. That's just not who I am. But I really hope that he can. I hope that this woke him up, and I hope he learned from it, and I hope that he turns his life around. I don't want anything bad to happen to him nor Anna. I mean, I really care about her. She was kind of like a little sister. And
yeah.
And that's no bullshit. You know, I don't have a lot of spare time. And when I'm choosing to spend time with somebody on a weekend, it's because I care about them. And I hate that she was kind of collateral damage to all of that.
Well, you spent a lot of time with her that one weekend.
And I know. She
get shut down at brunch and then you crashed at your place?
Yes. We all went to brunch and... we know the place really well.
Oh, that's what members. I heard. Yeah, yeah.
So the girls were, you know, pouring heavy, and next thing I know, we all go back to my house, and I'm thinking, okay, we're gonna, you know, Tarek's there, and he's like, okay, boo, what are we gonna do for dinner? You know, like he and I were gonna, I don't want to say a date night.
Yeah, but you're ready to get these, yeah, you know, maniacs, yeah, out of your house,
right? And all of a sudden, she's literally passed out on the floor, passed out cold. And it was like 9 o'clock and Tark's like, fuck it, I'm ordering a pizza because I'm hungry. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Yes. Yeah,
did you try to wake her? Do you like cheer? Did you try to wake her? Okay.
We did.
And nothing.
No, and I was okay. Listen, it was fine. It was fun. But yeah, that was clearly, I mean, she spent the night at my house a couple times a few years ago. She spent the night too. And I really, you know, she's a smart girl. Excuse me. She's a smart girl. And I wish her the best. The whole situation sucks, and it just makes me really sad.
Yeah, her and I haven't talked about this a lot, you know, because it's really I haven't been able to have like a one-on-one conversation with, you know, somebody that's sympathetic. But,
right,
you know, Anna and I were, you know, really good before we both, before.
I mean, you brought her here, right? Did you guys used to work together?
Yeah, she worked on the bone with me. She worked at night, and I did the afternoon show, so I wouldn't see her or much, but whenever we needed somebody, if somebody was out, like, I would go, hey, Anna, you know, can you come in? And everybody, it was a big deal to people to get to, you know, to come on the fucking afternoon show, you know,
right,
from doing,
sure,
night. So I would have her do that, and she appreciated it. And then, you know, I went to my boss because I wanted to do more, and he started having me kind of work with her. So I'd meet with her a couple times and, you know, try to just, you know, help her get on track with her show and all that stuff. And, you know, I thought she was a very, very unique talent. She's changed as far as like some of the, you know, direction that she's gone in and all that. But I just thought, you know, it wasn't so much, I think, about herself back then on the bone, you know, as maybe some of her shows are now.
Right.
And yes. And when she got fired for, you know, the epilepsy tweets and all that shit, like I told Bubba, I was like, man, this is a girl. She's funny. You know, I don't know if you can use her, but she could at least do a podcast. And your brother's very, you know, everybody that's, you know, working in radio in this community. He had not heard of her at all. And she came over for a meeting one day and he was, you know, like, all right, cool. You know, let's bring her on. And, you know, she was full time even after I left here for years. So,
right.
You know, I'll tell you, she was convinced that I tried to get her fired.
From here?
Yes.
That's just crazy. I mean, I don't get one thing. I think that if Bubba has control of that, and I don't know if he is going to really let somebody sway him like that.
No, and here's the thing, Tara. I had zero conversations with Bubba about firing
Anna.
Yeah,
I never heard of it. And Bubba kind of comes to me, believe it or not, He'll ask my advice. In fact, before when you came to him about Anna, he reached out to me because my whole thing was to him, you don't need a female.
Right.
Like I said to him, and this was before I even knew who Anna was. So this was nothing against Anna.
And you can see she's not your typical female.
Right. And I said, listen, I'm afraid that with the world that we live in today, and I'm a business owner, so this really rings true and I see it. Like, there's so much liability. Not everyone understands you. Don't put yourself, don't add any liability if you don't have to. And I don't think the show needs a female. I think you have enough diversity that you don't need a female unless you come across somebody that is very rare. And then he called me, talked to me. He's like, hey, Seth knows this chick, you know, blah, blah, blah. He told me about Anna. And when I heard Anna, I'm like, man, I think she's great. And I really thought she did a good job of, listen, this is a very hard show to be on and be female if you're not wired a certain way. And I thought she got it and she understood the Bubba Army. And I thought she was really coming into her own. So I said to him, man, I think it's great. And he really cared about her. Like, he thought of her as like a little sister. He really did. And I think when everything went down, it was really hard for him to, I think he did a pretty good job of, you know, removing the emotion of the pain of what happened with Blitz and trying to separate it. But I even said to him recently after all of this, I said, man, I don't think you need to go out and try to find another woman. Like, I think the lineup you have now is great. Babyface, you know, is opposite. Babyface is not necessarily like-minded. You get both sides. I think you are a rare sort of gem, Seth, that you're able to speak to anybody regarding politics, race, religion, whatever, personal beliefs.
People still get pissed off, but yeah. I'm not
drawing a line in the sand and saying you have to think this or you don't. And no. Anna was good at that too. But I also don't think that Bubba has to have a female. I think the show is great right now, and I think he needs to embrace it and focus on what's in front of him. Having you really dig in on the podcasts, you know, maybe bring some diversity to the podcast. But I think as far as the show, man, I think you just set it and you dig in and do what you guys do.
We got kind of the rotating chair set up for Wednesdays now.
Yeah,
it's just...
I'm on one.
That's right.
I don't know how the hell I'm going
to
do that.
I was going to say, why? How did he get you to commit to that? Because I feel like you are trying to avoid at least, you know, being on camera and in front of everybody as much as possible.
Because I love being scrutinized even more than what I am every day. So it was kind of this is hilarious and you're going to laugh. So I've been out of town and I get back in town and my mom's like, oh, I had a great weekend with Bubba. I guess he spent a lot of time with her and he helped me. I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. Yeah. And he said something about how he thinks you'd be really good and he'd like to have you on the air maybe one day a month. You know, he said that, and maybe one day a month. I'm like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've got to look at my schedule. Maybe once a month. And that was it. And then I get a text from him yesterday. I will show you because you'll laugh. I get a text from him. Hey, boo. I was with mom this weekend, and mom thought that it would be real. So they both blamed each other. Mom thought it would be great to have that you might want to do mom.
He's Mom afraid. Thought. He was afraid to just ask you, wasn't he?
Yeah, which is so, like, I think one of the most approachable people ever. And I'm like, yeah, okay, what dates are you thinking? I said, I know this sounds like the total asshole response, but I do need to check my work.
You're busy. Like, You're a business owner. Yeah.
I got to check and see if I have meetings, if I'm going to be in town. And he told me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'll be there. And he's like, thank you. And that was it. So they kind of like tag teamed me a little bit. And it wasn't like a coaxing. I'm good with it. I think it'll be fun one day a week. I really look forward to doing radio with you. I think that will be cool.
All right.
Lum Lum, he doesn't really say much. So, you know.
But he's just, his energy is just fan favorite.
Radiating,
right? Yeah.
I think that should be the test of if people are kind of like, if an animal doesn't like you, then you're typically not a good person, right?
Yes.
I think Lummy's very same. And that should be the litmus test for if somebody's good. If you don't like Lummy and Lummy doesn't like you, I don't want to deal with you because he's like the coolest, sweetest, most down to earth person. probably that I know.
Do you feel like you'll be coming in once a month now for the time being? Like
I think so. Okay. I mean, but who knows? I hope that Bubba takes his time and doesn't feel like he needs to have a full-time person in the seat.
No, no.
And I hope that he just digs into what he's got, because you guys really are in a great path. And I think just the podcasting alone is taking everything. It's elevating everything as a whole. And I think that needs to be the focus. And I think, you know, bringing in even like, did you say Tuds and Colton?
Yeah, so Tuds and Colton.
What's the plan?
Tuds and Colton are going to be doing a podcast that replaced Two Live Jews. So it's going to be a podcast that comes out every Thursday.
Oh, cool.
So this is kind of our, you know, we're kind of, you know, taking
the one off.
We're kind of, yeah, this is kind of like the opening act for them. And then Tuttle is going to do a Wednesday for us. I think, you know, the first Wednesday in May, which he was just... When you listen to the podcast, it was on Clement Kuss this week, and I know that you were working. But
I'm going to listen. I need to catch up.
When you listen, you will hear the genuine appreciation and just joy and happiness from Colton and Tuttle. Aww. When they both got asked to, you know, to do these things.
That is so cool. See, those are Bubba's people, man. You've got people like that that will have your back and jump in and help. Like, that speaks volumes.
Well, and I mean, it's especially too, and you know, Tuttle's like, I got money right now, so I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about money. So Bubba's like, you know, that makes Bubba's rock hard.
Yeah,
when he hears
dude,
that,
that's
so.
Like an aphrodisiac.
Yeah, and Colton's got money now. To everybody that leaves here has fucking money. You know,
man, maybe that's the
ones that stay here are we're the poor ones, but we're happy. Everybody's making money, but yeah, so they're like, you know. Everybody that's in this, and then we just there's another podcast out there, Tigs and Bigs, or you know, I think that's their name. We're adding them, like they're complete own entity. But
you know,
they've been supporters of the show, and we listen to them. And
cool.
Yeah, they talked about the On and Blitz situation, so they're gonna do something. So I'm trying to grow.
Wow,
this.
Look at you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I could grow this into, and I know a lot of you know, obviously the majority of podcasts are video, and this is strictly audio. But we're gonna put some of them on video. Rhett's already got you know a ton of YouTube stuff he puts out every day, but you know, I want to keep pushing this. I want Spotify and Apple and all these podcast companies to see our numbers and see what we're doing, and you know, eventually come to us and offer us a ton of money to have an exclusive podcast.
God,
so,
that's huge.
Yeah, so
that is huge. So you have a solid game plan.
Well, it's kind of like a solid game plan. It's like, you know, hopefully,
right,
you know, Tom Brady sees me throwing up a ball in the park and you know, ask me if I want to, you know, come try out for the Buccaneers or something.
Tom Brady.
So it's kind of like a long shot, but I'm, you know, I'm working towards something, and it's fun, you know.
It is, and just the energy of the last couple of days. I feel like, you know, as sad as it is, I hate the whole situation that happened, but I feel like Bubba has almost like a weight has been lifted.
Yeah, that's
in a weird
baby
way.
Face said. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I feel it. I feel it just on the little bit that I have listened to. I'm excited. I mean, your energy, dude, is straight fire.
Yeah. Well, I got kind of excited when people got to see the, you know, the real Blitz, because like I said, I sound paranoid like your brother now, but I was getting sabotaged in many ways here.
That's,
you know,
sucks.
My mental state was getting sabotaged. My financial state was getting sabotaged, and that's fine. You know, like I left, I didn't want to be in radio anymore. It wasn't anything against Bubba. I just didn't want to, I didn't want to be here.
Right.
But
you needed a break from everything.
Yeah. But I knew that there was no future here with Blitz being, you know, the second in command. There was not going to be anything for me. Like everything that I've done, you know, Bubba's given me the freedom to kind of do myself. Like before, Blitz got like a Twitch bonus, so Blitz did not want content going on Facebook, or like going on Facebook Live, going on fucking Rumble, going on Twitter. Like he would have put a stop to that. He would have wanted it all in one place, so you know, he could have just gotten his share. Blitz was a guy, because he was selfish, he was holding fucking Bubba back.
Damn.
You know, there would be things that I wanted to do and be like, oh, you know, we can't take away from Twitch. Motherfuckers, you need to be everywhere.
Yeah, you got to diversify.
You got to be everywhere you can possibly be.
You do.
In this world right now.
That's right. And it's only going to grow.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had different philosophies. So, but I told a bunch of people, I go, Bubba's going to be in the exact same spot he is if he keeps Blitz around. So, you know, unfortunately, it took something like that for, you know, for Bubba to have to rip the bandaid off and get rid of him. But, you know, going back to the Anna thing, I it's tough because people are, you know, they say she knew, you know, all the evidence leads to saying that she knows. I don't know if she knew, you know, staying with Blitz after, you know, all that stuff comes to light. But I know that she's going through a bunch of shit right now. Yeah, and so
I do too.
And so I have thought, like, oh, do I text? It's like, you know what? I can't. Like, it's just just I just can't do it because
I agree with that. I think that you just stay back, and she has known you for longer than she's known anyone else. So I think if she needs you or needs a friend and things are bad, I think she would reach out to you and then you respond accordingly. But I do agree. Don't inject yourself. You don't know where her headspace is. Hopefully, I really hope for her sake that, you know, something good comes out of this for her and for Blitz for that matter. I hope he can change things and make things better and, you know, choose the right path. But I hope that she also chooses the right path and doesn't involve herself in drama with my brother and trying, you know.
Yeah, I don't think
revenge,
she will.
You know, you dig two graves. That's like if you're drinking poison. I mean, you're drinking the poison, not the other person. The other person you're trying to, you know, seek revenge on, you end up, you know, you bury two graves, one for them and one for you. So I don't see her being like that. She's a very smart girl. And I really just truly hope that she ends up in a good place. She is talented. I think you were even talking about that before. I mean, she's very intellectually intelligent. And I hope that she continues to just rise above and comes out well.
Like, for her career, like she needs a sensei. Like,
yeah, she does.
She needs somebody to like help her, mold her, you know, like whether it's a talent manager, whatever, like she needs guidance.
And, agree.
And then I think that, you know, she could be, you know, again,
there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. Whether it's, you know, like doing something, you know, digitally or whatever. Like I think that she has the capacity to, you know, be a decent name in the digital world and make a living off of it. But, you know, everything needs some tweaking. So,
but just taking advice from the right people is everything.
Yes, absolutely.
In life and in business.
Do you, is this better than Flapping Gaps?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I will say that I enjoy the dynamic. I enjoy our dynamic because it's different. And I enjoyed Flapping Gaps. You know, she and I always had a good time and, you know, we would yuck it up, girl stuff. But this is, for me, you know, something different. So I really enjoy being able to talk to you about my brother personally, professionally. But also, I enjoy your input about radio because you have, I mean, shit, I listened to you years ago, like when you were with Fisher and Boy.
Oh my
God. Yeah. Oh yeah. And so did my husband. Tarek did too. So it's really cool.
Well, how did you do that when your brother was on the radio?
Why? I mean, you know, I'd surf on commercials.
We weren't that far. He was 97.9 and we were 97.1. So yes. You would have to go too far to find us.
Right. And I was a commuter, right? So I had like an hour drive. And so whenever Bubba would go to commercials, I would surf, you know, cause I'm always, you know, God forbid I have to listen to a commercial.
Yeah.
And so of course. And man, I liked alternative music. I still do.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's one of the reasons I went to LA is because it was K-Rock. It was
the
legendary alt station.
Really legendary.
Yeah. They were having their, right when I got there, they were having their acoustic Christmas show, which kind of wasn't the best lineup that year, but, you know, it was still cool, you know, to be at one of those events. I mean, those are...
Especially with K-Rock. I mean, they're like a landmark station, or, you know, so we thought, right?
But, you know, the company, you know, Odyssey's filed for bankruptcy and all, you know, they're getting bought out and all these firings.
I think don't you think you're going to see more and more of that in that sector?
Yeah, for sure. For
I mean,
sure.
I'm surprised. I always heard what iHeart a few years ago, didn't they file for bankruptcy or something crazy? Or
did they?
I don't know. They could be wrong.
You know, it's very possible. I mean, I was over there at iHeart. Things are tight as fuck.
Where is their office now?
They are on Roosevelt.
Almerton, Feather Sound?
Yeah, right there.
Okay.
Right there. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, they have a state-of-the-art studio and everything like that, but, you know, they're part-time people, all make minimum wage, so you're talking $12 an hour, and...
Are you serious?
Yes.
$12 an hour?
Yes.
You can make more at Target.
Yeah, no, I've seen $15 an hour at like Wawa and all this shit. So
how can you grow talent on $12 an hour? Isn't a lot of it like AI now where they're just
I think they're working on it. I don't think they've, it's a finished product because AI still sounds like a robot most of the time.
And
any radio stations that are running it probably don't have the money to get it top of the line. But, I mean, you're dealing with one person or you're paying somebody to voice track. It's just like, it's like, hey,
it's an assembly line.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we talk about, it's, I just compare it to newspapers. I mean, our newspapers hiring a bunch of people right now, or is it going the other way? You know,
yeah. How many newspaper stands and magazine stands do you see these days?
I know,
not a lot.
I never really saw any, but I did. You know, I think
in big cities. Oh my god, when I traveled for work, they were everywhere.
Hey, let me ask you, where were you at with your career when you were co-hosting with Bubba? But now. You're a business owner, and you know, I know he likes to talk about how much money you make, and you're obviously doing very well. So did you have money when you were doing this with Bubba? Were you at a weird like career pause?
Yes, I was at a weird career pause. So I had been in staffing for like 13 years, and I left a huge publicly traded billion-dollar company in January of 2008. To start a biotech staffing company. So we essentially, in January of 08, so we placed engineers and scientists in biotech, pharma, and med device. Very, very interesting. I loved that sector. It was fascinating. Well, we started off literally January of 08, a startup with three other people. We were all owners. We went all in. And then you know what happened in October of 08, right? The whole world, I mean, the market crashed. It was the biggest crash in history. We lost our asses. And one of my partners was a total piece of shiz.
A fuck boy.
Oh, man. Like running his Porsche payment through the company. And we were running
Jeez,
lean, man.
Is anybody fucking doing things on the up and up these days?
I mean, it was a very traumatic experience. And I, you know, kept hanging on. One of the partners left. So it was he and I, and he was a lot older and just an old crotchety man who didn't, it was kind of like the comparison of like terrestrial radio. Like he was stuck in that. He didn't want to, you know, digital, and he didn't want to post to job boards. And at that time in that niche, that was everything.
Right.
And he didn't want to spend money to travel and conferences, and you really needed to. So I hung on till like 2012. So I hung on. I lost a lot of money in the startup company. And finally, 4.5 years later, I couldn't do it. And that's right when Tarek and I were getting married. So like he wouldn't even give me time. And you know, we're equal partners, but he was a prick. He wouldn't really... Oh, you're getting married? How much time are you taking off? I took a long weekend and went to Vegas.
I felt like having a baby.
Oh, it was so bad. And finally, I come back and, you know, Tarek was doing very well. It's funny because when we got married, I was broke. My credit was crap. I was not doing well. I was in debt from the startup. Tarek like came in and married me. He was doing very well. Like he turned my life around.
Fuck,
so it's funny
yeah.
when people are like, oh, Tarek married Tara for the money. No, at the time it was the other way around.
No, I tell you. He deserves to be a sugar
baby
man. Right now.
Like he saved my life. I mean, he really did.
Is he still chilling at home? Is he still, I know he's working.
He's golfing right now.
Is he okay?
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm just being honest.
No, he's got a dude.
He's actually looking for a full-time job.
Yeah.
But he's a developer. He writes code.
It's a lot of money. His master's in
data analytics. He's a data scientist. He wants a full-time gig. He does a lot of project work. So
right.
he works a lot. But when we met, you know, I was the broke one, like literally. And finally, a couple months, you know, I was interviewing and Bubba's like, man, this is when Spice left and all this shit was going on. And Bubba's like, you know, I was talking to Howard or I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but he's like, I would love to do. And I always did voiceover work for Bubba. Like I used to do his sweepers and all kinds of shit.
Right.
And he said, what do you think about being a co-host? I'm like, are you serious? He's like, man, I think you get it. I think we need a female. I think that's what the show is missing. Now, keep in mind, this was right when the MJ trial was starting. I mean, it was like the most chaotic time, one of the most chaotic times. That's right when the Hogan sex tape got revealed. Like all this shit was happening.
Man.
And he's like, do you want to? I really would like that. And so I agreed. And it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to take a career pause. I'm going to figure out, am I going to get back into corporate America? And it was a nice little, you know, reset for like a year, year and a half. And then, of course, he had Tom Beam fire me.
And which that was after how long?
About a year and 6 months.
How'd you think it was going?
I thought it was going great. And he was, I really did.
He wouldn't like yell at you or anything on the
air? Oh, hell yes. He told me okay. I was a whore and I wasn't funny and I was dumb. And oh, hell yes.
Oh, man. All right. No wonder you
And Shannon Burke. Like, geez. So I went to Shannon. Shannon was co-host, 25. He left. I mean, man.
Well, what a wild time.
It was one of the, and then I went to trial. I went to his trial every day right after the show. And he was not in a good headspace and he was not very good to me at all. And he, instead of just giving me direction, like it would have been so cool if after the show he'd be like, hey, because I didn't know. I mean, in all fairness, I wasn't trying to also claim that I was this big radio savant.
Did he help? Like, would he give you guys, it's okay if he didn't.
Not, I mean, yes and no, but more non-confrontational. Like, don't use crutches and don't say this and, you know, but then some days I was, oh my God, that was so funny. And oh, your voice is so sexy. The guys go crazy over it and whore it up a little bit. And I'm like, I just got married. I'm literally a newlywed, and it was kind of a strain in our marriage because, you know, God bless them. The Bubba Army, you know, were very friendly to me and I'd have remotes through the bone. You know, Bubba was at that time, the morning show.
Yeah.
So I would have to go over and go to the meetings. They'd send me.
Oh, that's right. I remember Brent used to go.
And then
that was the big thing that Bubba
going.
That was the big thing that Bubba was his own entity and, you know, wouldn't do shit in the building.
Oh, yeah. So then I was the one that would bridge that gap. And then we'd go, you know, play nice. I'd go to the weekly fucking meeting.
I think I met you.
I think so.
That's where I met you over
yes.
there was one day.
I was over there a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was great in those times, but then I don't know what, he had a wild hair up his ass and he just kind of stopped talking to me. Bubba did. And he started giving me the cold shoulder. And then.
And life or on the show?
On the show.
Oh, okay.
And in life, both. And then at the time, do you remember Hurricane Stevens?
Yes.
So Hurricane was his producer. And, you know, it's funny because everyone comes to me when they need to vent about my brother or they need advice. And then all of a sudden, everyone stops talking to me. And I'm like, what in the literal fuck? Okay. I owned a business. I owned a pretty, yeah, well, fairly successful business. And these people are treating me like I'm the janitor.
Yeah.
So I went to Hurricane and I'm like, dude, what's up, man? Talk to me. Everyone's closed door meetings. You know when something's going on. I'm like, come on. What? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, listen, Kermit the Frog, what is up? The guy sounds like Kermit the Frog. And I'm like, listen, you come to me every day, belly aching, bitching and whining about my brother, and I'm there for you. What's going on? I have no idea. And then I go home that day, and Tom Bean calls me. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. I'm like, hey, Tom. Hello, Tara. You know, the typical Tom. I'm like, what's up? Your brother feels like it's best that you are no longer on the air. I flipped out. And listen, Seth, I do not flip out very often. I pride myself in that. I thought he was punking me. I go, huh? And Tom's like, I am so surprised that you're this emotional. I didn't think you were happy. I'm like, what? Wait, so you either don't think I'm happy on the show or Bubba doesn't. You can't have it both ways.
Tom was very supportive of when he was delivering this message.
Yes.
I see.
And he's like, we'll give you, you know.
Stop crying.
Yes, literally. Like, he was shocked. He's like, I'm shocked that you're taking this way. I'm like, dude. And the funny thing is, like, God love him. Shannon Burke, everybody, even Manson, they all reached out to me. They're like, dude, we cannot believe this. Everyone, you know, without, they weren't trying to throw Bubba under the bus, but they were trying to be supportive of
me.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I had, you know, the Bone reach out to me. I had, you know, Bubba's adversaries reach out to me and want me. And I'm like, listen, radio is just not, that's not the moneymaker. I have a business brain. This was a fun reset for me.
I wish you would have told me that in 2013.
I know, right?
That this wasn't the moneymaker. Right. To have a business mindset.
I mean, compared to where I'm at now, in all fairness, you know, and I have, listen, I went to college. I have my MBA. I enjoy this. This is a hobby and fun. I will say I did explore and I did do quite a bit of voiceover work. Brent Hatley hooked me up with quite a bit when he went to, Brent was in LA for a while. And did you know that before he went to Howard?
What was he doing out there?
So he was a producer for, a couple things. Do you remember, now I'm going to forget her name. She was on Taxi, the old,
I don't even know.
She's known to have one of the, Mary Lou Henner.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Mary Lou Henner?
Yes.
She had a talk show. And Brent was a producer.
Hell yeah.
And Brent reached out to me and he's like, hey man, I could get you a lot of voiceover gigs. There's a lot of people in LA. And I did that. And I did that on the side. And I have a whole setup at my house, by the way. The mic, the board and everything.
Do you?
Oh yeah. I love to do.
Oh.
I mean, I did stuff for Sirius. I did stuff for Howard. I did a lot of stuff for Bubba, but first of all, I think the new voiceover person, whatever it is, I think they suck. But I really enjoyed
that. Your brother's
that.
In love with her. He's like, let's send her 50 more things immediately.
Oh my, I was like kind of insulted. It's so funny. At Christmas, this is a true story. Not trying to throw Bubba under the bus. Christmas, just this past Christmas, Bubba's like, man, you have the best voice. And he's putting me over and on and on, and you could do voiceover. And I actually had an agent for a little bit, and I started to, but I had like business opportunities that I couldn't turn down that really required all hands on deck. And Bub was like, man, I've had so many people reach out to me, and you have such a great voice. And have you thought about getting back into doing voiceover? And I'm like, I love it. And he was propping me up at Christmas, and then like, a month later, I hear these new voiceover sweepers and I'm dying laughing. I'm like, that's hilarious. But not to, as I digress, but I really enjoy that. And I did a lot of different commercials and not just, you know, you're listening to Bubba, you know, it was a variety. So Brent helped me out doing that. And I did voiceover for quite a while. And I would still dabble, to be honest, to this day. But that's sort of the transition of, then I got into, right after I got fired, one of my former colleagues, he left a staffing firm where we had worked in the past and started his own. And he had been trying to recruit me for quite a while, even when I was on the air. And I went to lunch with him like a week later. And he said, I got to tell you, I'm starting this new division. I want you, what do you think? And I'm like, I'm in. So I started this division with other people. And they sold the company in 2018 for $180 million. So me and my current partners all worked together at this place. And we all look at each other and think, if these dudes can do it, we can do it. So in 2019, we started our own company out of nothing. And I've never looked back.
Wow. Built it up to where, you know.
Yeah, so this year, and next week I find out we were nominated again for the best place to work in Tampa. We won last year, number one. We won best place to work in Tampa, fastest growing. We went from zero to, I think we'll do about $38 million in revenue this year.
Oh, man.
So.
You guys need a podcaster?
Potentially. Okay. Potentially. That's revenue, not profit. But I am so grateful. It is taking everything I have to be a part of it, but what a blessing, what a privilege it is. And again, I'm really grateful. It's been changing. It's not just changed my life, but all of my partners and all of my colleagues, like I don't say my employees, we're all one, man. I'm everything from the CEO to the janitor. I don't look at it like we're all equal. To be able to change people's lives and have, you know, my teammates come up to me and say, I was able to, you know, I'm making X amount of dollars. I'm able to take my family to Greece. You changed the trajectory of my kid's future. That is more powerful and more rewarding than any amount of money ever. And I just am so grateful that I have this opportunity, in all fairness, really.
No. And I mean, you're doing great things. You're spreading a lot of joy. And I know you want to, like you said, you want to make everything better
and
than
pay it forward
than how you found it. So.
Yes, I really do. It's changed my life. That attitude and constantly paying it forward and helping people, like that's to me everything. I wasn't able to have children, so to me, being able to help people and impact their lives and inspire them. I mean, that's what gets me up every day. And it sounds corny, but it's really truly who I am.
No, I believe it. Like, I don't think anybody thinks that you don't sound sincere when you say that at all. I am just, like, trying to figure out, you know, I know you talked to your brother about he could come over there after the show, you know, work, you know, I don't know, from fucking 10 to 5, and he can make, you know, $250,000 a year. I told him to go over there and, you know, do
that. Yeah, what is he waiting on, right?
I said, yeah. I was like, dude, he's like, ah, you know.
I mean, Seth, our top producer makes about $550,000 a year. Our salespeople.
What about a bottom producer?
150 to two. No joke.
Oh, man.
And he calls it a call center. It's not a call center. It's not, I mean, when I hear him talking about my business, I cringe.
Well, he says it's a $1 million business and that it's a call center. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a $50 million business and it's not a call center.
What is it? What are the people doing? You're selling stuff, right?
Yeah. It's all long line. So yeah. It is phone sales, right? You're calling and connecting with hospitals, trying to see if they need staff. In this specific area.
Would you hire Bubba, really?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I love him. I'd give him money, but I would not hire him. Are you kidding me?
He made it seem like it was really on the table. He's like, you know, Terrace, I'd come down there. And I was like, well, I think you really should, Bubba.
Sure. And I think he thinks he's going to play for Green Bay next year, too. Come on, Seth.
Well, I don't want to ruin that for him.
Bless his heart.
All right. Well, I did not know that you had a whole setup at home. So, well, you know, I don't have a real whole setup. I've got a microphone. So we can do this from our own houses.
Oh, yeah. Okay, first of all, when you and Phoebes come over for the little like couples hangout.
Yeah. What are we doing?
You'll see my set. I don't know, man. Let's get something on the calendar and
do we
let's
get on
do
the calendar
it.
Now? What's like yes. what should we do? What's the
I don't know. Are you guys comfortable? Like, do you want to go out to dinner somewhere? I know it's kind of a far drive. So would you guys want to come to and just hang out at our house and have carry out?
I like to.
Do you want
to
go to dinner
like
and then go back
chill.
To the house?
I like to keep it chill because, you know, when you're sitting down at a table and
you can't
move
really let her
I
rip, Skip.
I just like, yeah, I like to, you know.
Well, why don't we like have dinner at my house? You're welcome to bring your daughter if you want or if you get whatever. Like, we're kid friendly.
Well, I mean, if she's got, you know, if you have the house that I hear that you have, I mean, kids love big houses, you know?
Yes, bring her over. We've got a huge game room with a balcony. She could chill out up there, watch, you know, could put something on. She could hang out with us.
She might shake you down for a 5 or a 10
That's
spot.
True. That
I'm
is
just,
your
I'm
kid.
I'm just letting I'll you just keep all the cash in your cars.
Yes, like. Well, we have a safe, so I'm going to keep it locked up in there. But seriously, let's get something like... In the next couple weekends.
Well,
I mean,
we got this on the books. We were talking Monday or Tuesday about, you know, the breakfast. And then I was, you know, like, let's do a podcast. I was like, tell me right now when you're free. And, you know, we can do this. Like, you know, we're free pretty much every weekend unless there's some stupid birthday party. But those are normally in the afternoon.
Well,
so.
Why don't you get with Phoebes and figure out, like, this weekend, next weekend.
All right. Let me look towards next weekend.
Yeah. Next weekend, we're good. The following weekend is Mother's Day, so probably not. Like, May 4th, I don't know if you guys, or the 3rd. Like, what's better, Friday or Saturday for you guys?
Friday, so, you know, I'll have a better excuse to leave early because I'll be tired.
There you go.
You know, not that you guys would need, not that
no,
I would need
dude,
excuse
you can
to leave
keep
at
it
all,
real.
But,
listen, yeah. Tarek's an old man. He goes to bed, like, at 8:30 every night.
Yeah, I try to also, but then I can't fucking fall asleep until like 11:15. So.
Same here.
I mean, how much fucking weed can I? This shit, weed won't even put me to sleep anymore.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I'm taking my daughter's melatonin. It's knocking me the fuck out. I'm taking like 10, the lowest amount of a kid's melatonin, and it's making me like fucking sleepwalking sleepy.
Really?
And this medical marijuana has just got me up and buzzing all day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Melatonin work? I've never been able, it's never worked for me.
Yeah, it's like my eyes get heavy, but I think it like in the middle of the night, like I'll wake up and like it'll be like all this fucking trail mix in my bed.
Yes,
and,
that's like what Ambien does to people.
I'm just like I'm eating all this shit.
I don't think melatonin's good long term.
I don't think it is either. But for right now, I just enjoy.
Try some Benadryl.
Isn't that your brother's?
I don't know.
I don't know what the
dude. He's got a whole like pharmaceutical concoction.
Oh, it's working for him. So
good.
Yeah, he
whatever works, man.
He said he knows what he's doing. I trust him.
Yeah, of course.
He knows. Mm-hmm. He knows doctors.
Sure.
All right.
Yep.
So we'll do this again. I appreciate you coming over. Are you going back to work?
Of course.
Okay. Well, shit. I don't. You working?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's
24/7.
It's 2 o'clock. I don't know. Do you work from home a lot, or you just got to be at the office?
I'm about 50-50.
Okay.
Depending, but I'm in the office a couple days a week, 2 to 3, and then 2 to 3 at home. Just depends on my schedule, but for the most part, about 50-50, well, hybrid.
We can do this every couple weeks or something.
Yeah.
And like I said, you don't have to come here. We can do it just from home.
Yes.
So your brother's finally realizing that, like, you can do some, like, it's not going to sound like this, but it's not going to sound like shit either.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean,
so.
I have a good mic and good headphones and everything. So yeah. It's... You know,
and I have a $30 microphone, and it fucking works delightfully. You know,
exactly. So, you know what's up?
Yeah, that's I found the cheap equipment that works over the years. So.
I love it.
All right, well, listen, Tara, I thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It was a great time. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thanks for setting up. Thanks for breakfast on Monday. Did
you
hear?
Yes, and all of your hard input, all of the hard work to the wee hours of the night.
Well, it was. Well, I mean, we were coordinating a breakfast,
yes.
A podcast, a hangout session.
Yes.
We were coordinating, you know, what Lummy and Dan wanted before they finally got back to you. Did you hear Dan's reaction to the cinnamon swirl pancakes?
Oh, he said it was the best thing he's ever had in his mouth.
I will say they were good, but I wouldn't say it was like a, you know.
I mean, he really went like to the point where, and I just ordered like extra stuff for like, because I wanted Rhett and Mach. I wanted everyone to be able to have something.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like randomly picked stuff, but like he went hard on it. I feel like it was funny. You texted Dan wants to buy Metro Diner now.
I
want to go check it out now.
I think everybody's just like, Dan's hyping up this fucking pancake, which is, it's fucking great. But I'm imagining, you know, a cinnamon pancake swirl, cinnamon roll deal.
You can't really go wrong.
Right. I'm sure there's other people that can nail it. And Dan is running around like, you know, he just discovered gold. So,
I mean, for him to say it's the best thing he's ever had in his mouth. So, of course, Tarek being the smartass. I told him that. He heard it, and he texted Dan immediately. I'm really offended and upset that you said that was the best thing that's ever been in your mouth.
I mean, they've been to all the fancy restaurants around town over the years. All
I mean,
this
for
shit.
Dan to say that, Dan has, you know, Dan has some long money, so
yeah.
He's able to enjoy things that a lot of people aren't. For him to go hard on that.
You know what? I think he's a real breakfast guy, though. I'm a real breakfast guy.
Oh, me too. It's one of my favorites.
I don't eat in the mornings, Tara. So
me
I was
either.
So fucking bloated after I had that croissant French toast. I mean, I was just like, "What? I can't do
Blew
this."
Blew up like a deer tick.
Yeah, I just had to. I had to drive out to Odessa, and I had to take a Xanax.
Odessa, that's where I live.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I've been going out there. What is it?
Nice.
The Steeple. Where the fuck am I? I go Steeple Boot, Steeple Ranch. I don't
Steeple
know.
Chase?
Steeple Chase. Yeah.
What's out there?
What do you say that? What's out there?
Yeah. So you just go out there for...
No. So I'm... there's a house, so I do social media right now for Bill Grammatica.
Oh, yeah. He's a realtor, right?
Yeah. So when they have houses, like, I'll go and set up, like, the time-lapse camera or go take pictures
and shit. Oh, very cool.
So I've had to go out there a few times because sometimes the gate person won't let me through.
Oh.
So, because you have to, like...
Of course.
I mean, you have to insert your ID. I mean, you talk to... It's a whole fucking thing.
Oh, yes.
So, I've gotten rejected a couple of times, but yeah, I've been out there a few times. And actually, I'll tell you what, not as far from fucking St. Pete as I thought it was.
Okay, good.
You hop on Veterans, I get off fucking on Ehrlich, like, I'm back there in, you know, 15, 20 minutes, so...
Yep.
If that's where you are, then I can...
I'm just a little farther north, but I'm right off the Veterans.
No, that's cool. I can work with that.
It's like you can see my house off of the Veterans, from the Veterans.
That's great. My mom's like deep in the heart of Newport Richey, so anything before that works for me.
Okay, perfect.
All
right. It's a date, man.
We'll do that, and we'll do this again soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Bye.